Hello and welcome to the Field Talk podcast from the Linder Farm Network, the voice of Minnesota agriculture. I'm your host, Dan Lemke. The Minnesota Biofuels Association has released its 2025 annual report, highlighting successes and goals for the advocacy group. Executive Director Brian Werner joins this podcast to discuss the highlights, future goals, and why corn farmers should care about ethanol.
So this is a report that we put together every year, and then we hold kind of an annual membership event at the same time when we release this report. And it's really just an opportunity to recognize our achievements from the past year, but also outline some of our goals for next year, and then connect with all of our members, our friends, our supporters, to do some networking and have some of those in-person conversations. So it was really an important night for us, and I think, but also just a good opportunity to kind of take stock at what we were able to achieve this year, and also kind of what we want to achieve going forward. So, I mean, that it all kind of starts with advocacy. One of the core missions of our association is to just advocate on behalf of a renewable fuel production in St. Paul and Washington, D.C. And so, you know, last year at the state level, we worked to secure robust funding for the biofuel infrastructure program, including extending about $1.5 million that was actually set to revert back to the general fund. So we're able to get that money put back into the program, which allowed the Minnesota Department of Agriculture to release the latest round of funding for that program. Was announced in August of this year, and that was at $4 million total. So hoping to get additional retail locations that can utilize those funds going forward. We also worked to lock in some small but important improvements to the environmental permitting process, and also to push forward on the state's sustainable aviation fuel tax credit. So that was at the state level. And then on the federal side, I mean, we worked, you know, this is the fourth consecutive year we got an emergency E15 waiver so that we could sell E15 during the summertime. We made progress with our Minnesota federal delegation. We've got 7 of the 10 members of our delegation that have now co-sponsored the Nationwide Consumer and Fuel Retailer Choice Act, which would permanently solve, you know, the issue on the reed vapor pressure. So we would be able to sell permanently without having to ask for waivers every summer E15 going forward. And then lastly, making sure that we were able to extend the 45Z tax credit, and then also pushing for, you know, robust RVOs for 26 and 27, which it sounds like are a little bit delayed due to the government shutdown, but hoping that we'll see those put out here early next year, just to lock in some certainty as to in terms of what the volumes are going to be for the next 2 years for renewable fuel blending. So those were some of the highlights. And I will say one of the things that I really enjoyed this year on the advocacy front is I really think it's important to try to get farmers and legislators and other stakeholders to come out to ethanol plants, put on a neon vest and those safety goggles, put on a hard hat, and really see what our members do all day, every day in ethanol production. And so this year we hosted Senator Klobuchar, Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, as well as current state senator and congressional district number 2, the second congressional district candidate, Matt Klein, came and toured ethanol plants. And so that's really one of those things that I think is really important for lawmakers. And I think, you know, it reminds me of that old President Eisenhower quote that, you know, farming looks mighty easy when your plow is a pencil and you're 1,000 miles from the cornfield. But I think the same can also be said for ethanol production. So we really try to get lawmakers out to tour ethanol plants in the state of Minnesota, and made some progress in doing that this year.
So what kind of goals? You mentioned you have goals set out for the year ahead. And what are some of those that folks might be interested in?
Yeah, so the biggest one is just finally getting a full permanent nationwide fix for access to E15. So we continue to work very closely with our members of the delegation. I know there have been ongoing negotiations in Washington, D.C. with, you know, folks like the Renewable Fuels Association, Growth Energy, the American Petroleum Institute, in trying to find a compromise solution that would allow E15 to be sold permanently year-round nationwide in the summertime, while at the same time making some fixes to the way that small refinery exemptions and the way that whole process goes in the renewable fuel standard. So we're hopeful that a lot of those discussions are continue to be productive. And I think we're hopeful that we'll see a compromise solution that hopefully would be on a glide path to being included in a potential government funding package that I know needs to be re-upped again here in the middle to end of January. So that's number one. I think we'd also like to see the timely implementation of 45Z. So we are still waiting for full guidance from the U.S. Treasury Department and the Office of Management and Budget about what those exact rules will look like. I think a lot of our plants are moving forward with filing for and hoping to receive those 45Z tax credits. But a few of those details, I think, are still outstanding that we're waiting for guidance from the Treasury Department. So that's another one. And then lastly, I'll just say one of the things we're really going to focus on next year is expanding the market for E15, but also trying to find new markets for biofuels, whether that's sustainable aviation fuel, whether that's additional increases in corn kernel fiber ethanol production. But also, I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities coming up for carbon utilization projects. And, you know, I think we've seen a lot of progress being made in ethanol and methanol use in ocean shipping vessels. So I think that's a potential huge market for ethanol and biofuel producers going forward. And so really trying to have some of those discussions, whether it's with the Port of Duluth, whether it's with the greater MSP Sustainable Aviation Fuel Hub, to make sure that Minnesota's positioned really positioned well for a lot of these new potential markets for biofuels going forward.
Minnesota certainly had a long history and a strong ethanol industry out there for many years. Why does this matter to farmers? How does that trickle down, so to speak, and impact growers across Minnesota and rural communities as well?
Yeah, so this is actually a really important point, and I'm glad you brought this up, is because, you know, we know that for every percentage of ethanol that's added to the overall nationwide fuel supply, it adds about 1.2 billion bushels of additional corn demand. So this is the kind of thing that, you know, as we see additional ethanol blending, we see additional demand for corn overall. And as we know, with some of the numbers that we saw this fall during harvest and just the amount of corn that's out there, I think finding ways to have more domestic demand for it is really going to be critical to make sure that our producers here in Minnesota have really strong markets. And you know, we've seen all kinds of studies, you know, over the last 5 to 10 years that have showed just the impact that ethanol production has on corn pricing. And so, you know, I think that's one really important aspect of all this. And I think we've actually done through some of our national associations on some of the modeling in terms of if we do get a year-round E15 deal done, what kind of additional potential new use for corn and ethanol would be. And, you know, a couple of the things that we've seen is, I mean, just allowing E15 year round nationwide, you know, including in California, where we actually just saw some additional access for E15, is that, you know, it's anywhere from, you know, 2.4 billion bushels of corn, of additional corn demand. You know, because actually I just saw the number here. For every additional 1% of increase in the national average ethanol blend rate, it's about 490 million bushels of corn. So, you know, the really ethanol production is really, flowing through the entire vertical supply chain and really providing that additional demand for corn farmers that have, that are looking for a place to sell all the corn that they just harvested this fall.
And as far as consumers go, they're certainly finding some welcome news at the pump. I know we always get a bit of a seasonal drop, but there's some very good prices out there when it comes to the E15, if folks are so inclined.
There is. And, we actually, one of the messages from our event last week was, statewide in the state of Minnesota, we have just added our 550th station that offers E15 statewide. And, right now, according to the Minnesota Department of Commerce, the average discount is about 13 cents per gallon, which has saved Minnesotans about $12.7 million total at the pump so far this year. And so, we actually did one of the fun things that I really enjoyed this year that we did is we did kind of a viral social media campaign where we asked Minnesotans that were out, driving during the summer driving season to take a photo of the gas pump, when they stopped to fill up. That would show the price difference between 87 and 88. And so we actually received over 250 photos of gasoline pumps in June, July, and August, and, awarded some gift cards that we did some drawings based on some of those photos. And, would you believe it? In June, the price savings actually reached as high as 51 cents per gallon that we saw in Apple Valley, Prior Lake, and Albert Lea. And so, these are real savings that consumers are seeing at the pump based on, E15 and unleaded 88 access. And so we're just going to continue the work and try to, convince more retail stations to put in the infrastructure necessary to offer unleaded 88 and really just provide those cost savings to consumers directly.
Thanks for listening. Find other podcasts at linderfarmnetwork.com and on Apple and Spotify. Get the latest in farm news and market information daily from your local LFN affiliate.